Shalom, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Pulse of Israel here in our eternal and ancestral homeland, the land of Israel, in our beautiful, biblical, indivisible capital, Jerusalem, since King David's time. Today, I'm going to be providing you a really comprehensive analysis of the recent attack by Iran on Israel, the first ever direct attack by Iran on the Jewish state of Israel since the third Jewish Commonwealth of Israel, the modern Jewish state of Israel, was established back in 1948. This is huge, and there are a lot of different components to this analysis. So you're going to want to stick around to the end, because I really tackle this from different angles and different important pieces of information to understand the totality of what we experienced with that attack and its implications for the Jewish state of Israel, the Jewish people, Israel, and the Middle East today. So don't go anywhere. Stick around till the end. All right, here we go. First of all, everyone must understand that the Islamic Republic of Iran does not represent the Iranian people, who are actually the key victims of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Iranian people have no freedom or equality, with Iranian women punished in public for not wearing the traditional Muslim head covering. Instead of the Western enlightened world protecting Iran all these years for business reasons and for oil, the Western world should be on the front line in toppling the Islamic regime. But no, instead, the Biden administration has allowed Iran access to over billions of dollars, including $20 billion since November 2023. Whereas the Islamic Republic of Iran was broke under Trump, thanks to Biden removing the sanctions and allowing Iran access to billions of dollars, Iran has been able to once again support all of its terror proxies around the world in the Middle East to prepare for the October 7th massacre and for its attacks on global interests, like the commerce ships belonging to the US, the UK, and other countries that that ship through the region. Let's now reflect upon Iran's ferocious attack on Israel on Saturday, April 14th. Iran launched hundreds of drones and ballistic missiles carrying a crazy amount of explosives. They plan to do tremendous damage to Israel. Yet Israel's defense systems, together with an international alliance, almost totally stopped all of the drones and missiles from hitting Israel. One IDF army base was hit, and a 7-year-old Bedouin girl was injured from fall to shrapnel from the air. Considering the massive aerial attack launched by Iran on Israel, unprecedented in world history, the fact that Israel survived the attack virtually unscathed is truly miraculous. Now, I want to focus on this miracle for a moment, because it is critical to understanding the full story of what humanity is experiencing today, with the focus on the Jewish people in Israel. Yes, people were involved in creating the various defense systems that stopped the ferocious Iranian air attack that most probably would have crippled any country in the world. And yes, the involvement of the states of Jordan and Saudi Arabia, as well as the United States and UK forces, in also shooting down some of the Iranian drones and missiles, also show a human component involved in the victorious defense. But who says that God only shows his hand and provides miracles without human involvement? Sometimes God's biggest miracles are those that also include human involvement. Just imagine the absolute coordination and miraculous aspect that almost every single drone and missile was destroyed in the air before hitting Israel. Just internalize how miraculous that Arab Muslim states joined Israel in shooting down the drones and missiles of another Arab Muslim country. And all this together with the United States and the UK, two allies who until now have stopped Israel from properly defeating Hamas, an Iranian proxy in Gaza, freeing our hostages and attacking another Iranian proxy, Hezbollah in Lebanon. So yes, even with all the human involvement, the successful defense against Iran's aerial attack against Israel was a huge miracle, if not a combination of many, many miracles. Listen to what this Israeli scientist, who works for the security system and is a doctor of physics, wrote to his rabbi the other day. I don't have his name, but here I'm quoting this as it's been going viral in Israel. I wanted to share with the rabbi something that is much more than a feeling. That on Shabbat night, the night of the 14th, something happened here on the scale of the splitting of the Red Sea. I am a doctor of physics, and I worked for several years in Israel's defense industry in projects that are still the cutting edge of the state of Israel. When I look at what happened on Saturday night, the 14th, on a scientific level, it simply cannot happen. Everyone, and I mean everyone, acted as one man in overall unity. He continued, the likelihood that everything works out just as it should does not exist in complex systems like the defense systems that we're operating. They have never, and I mean never, even beyond the state of Israel, been tried in real time. I took a pencil and dove into the calculations to check the likelihood that such a result would materialize. The large number of events that had to be handled at precisely the right time doubles the chance of making a mistake. With all the high technologies, the expectation was for a breach in the defense of the skies of the state of Israel. Even if we got 90% protection, it would be a miracle. What happened, though, is that everyone, and I mean everyone, the pilots, the system operators, and the technology operators, acted as one man at one moment in total unity. If this is not an act of God, then I no longer know what a miracle is. And then the doctor marvels and adds, this is sharper than the victory of the Six-Day War or the War of Independence. There it can be explained according to nature. The rescue that took place for the people of Israel on Shabbat night, the 14th of April, is simply impossible naturally. I believe that the miracle saved the lives of many people in Israel. If the defense system had failed to intercept a number of cruise missiles, the result would have dragged us into a very complex campaign. I wouldn't bet that next time it will work like this without divine supervision. The simple proof of what I said is that the managers of the security industries who develop and manufacture these systems guarantee no more than 90% success. Since the day you came out of the land of Egypt, we have shown you wonderful things. Happy holidays. That's how the doctor ended his words. And again, we're going into the holiday of Passover, the redemption from Egypt, redemptive days. That's it from the doctor. Western civilization is today at a tipping point where man is truly trying to replace God and erase God from our existence. I have spoken about this a lot in my Pulse of Israel programs. We are living in our modern Tower of Babel story, where then as well, mankind tried to replace God and erase God from existing. Because today, plenty of Israeli military men are right now talking about how we survived the Iranian attack thanks to the army and all the people involved emphasizing the technology and that it wasn't a miracle from God. Guess what? It is that attitude that got us into this trouble in the first place. If there is one thing the Israeli people woke up to realize on October 7th, is that we exist here for now 76 years because God watches over us, not because of the military leaders, not because of military campaigns. They are all God helpers, but they have all failed us on October 7th, totally. And it made many Israelis realize and internalize that with all of our military successes and heroes over the decades, they were all one because God above is watching after us. We must have a strong army. We must train. We must do everything we can militarily to defend ourselves from our enemies. But at the end of the day, it is a partnership between us doing what we have to do and God. It is not us humans alone protecting us. It's us together with God. And that is the ultimate battle taking place across the Western world between those men and women who are trying to erase God from our lives and those of us who insist on focusing on the centrality of God in our lives while we do our part as well, that partnership. Now, I want to go back to the Iranian attack because there are other aspects of the attack that must be looked at. First, I want to give you a fabulous analysis of the Iran-Israel situation right before Iran attacked Israel directly for the first time. And this analysis was spot on, except for the analyst's conclusion. It was written up by an Arab analyst for a defense think tank. And this is his tweet. This is why I think Israel has thrown Khomeini off balance, and there is little Khomeini can do about it. Number one, Iran has instigated, funded, and armed half a dozen of its proxy militias in Lebanon, Gaza, West Bank, Judea and Samaria, Yemen, and Iraq to launch a war of mass distraction on Israel with the hope of bogging down the Jewish state in wars that keep it busy and away from stopping Tehran, Iran, from dashing to the nuclear bomb. To Khomeini's misfortune, Israel seems to have many more eyes and arms than two, and has engaged in at least four simultaneous fronts: Gaza, the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, Lebanon, Syria, while sensitive Iranian targets keep mysteriously blowing up every now and then. Number two, while Iran was happy to see Arabs die and force attrition on Israel, it stayed out of all wars since end of its war with Iraq in 1988. Islamist Iranian officials always deliver statements in English on how they seek regional and world peace, while in Arabic thumping their chests and promising to destroy Israel. Number three, Israel wants to keep the option of attacking Iran's nuclear program open, but without being blamed for starting war with Iran. Now that Israel has killed top IRGC Iranian officers in Syria, all Arab Shia partisans of Iran are expecting Tehran, Iran, to respond directly by attacking Israel. All Iran's proxies are now asking, why do we all have to fight Israel and die except for the actual Islamists of Iran? Number four, Islamist Iran is so embarrassed that Khomeini himself had to promise revenge against Israel for the killing of Zahiri, right, the Iranian officer in Syria. Now, this is why Khomeini is in a pickle. If he throws missiles from Iran on Israel, that will justify any Israeli retaliation against Iranian territory, opening the way for Israel to hit whatever targets inside Iran, including nuclear program targets. Number five. Other than face-saving responses, Islamist Iran feels its weaknesses versus Israel. The Jewish state has infiltrated the Iranian regime to its very core. Israel has decimated most of the top leadership and could do more damage. All Iran can do is either have proxies respond, which is now backfiring on Iran, or attack Israelis in third-party countries, and that will put Iran in trouble with these third-party countries and with international law. My conclusion? Judging by similar incidents in the past, Iran will swallow its pride and let this one pass. In the past, Iran repeatedly stood down, swallowed the poison whenever it felt weaker. Wish its Arab proxies understood these Iranian lessons of the balance of power. But proxies are proxies. They are mercenaries who do the bidding of the highest bidder while their countries are in freefall. So, the analyst concluded that Iran would not attack Israel directly, yet Iran did attack Israel directly, now legitimizing an Israeli attack on Iran, exactly what he's saying was part of the Israeli strategy. So, now I want to focus on the involvement of Jordan and Saudi Arabia in helping defend Israel against the Iranian devastating aerial attack that we succeeded in stopping. This is something that must be taken into context, because some people are saying how this is proof how peace is possible with the Muslim world. Jordan and Saudi Arabia helped defend Israel. Well, let me start off by saying no. Anyone saying that does not understand the complexity of the Middle East or of the reality of life in the Middle East. It is so much deeper than that. First of all, let's start off by saying that Jordan and Saudi Arabia are enemies of Iran. Iran wants to conquer those two countries like it has conquered Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, parts of Yemen, and other areas of the Middle East. The only country that Iran hates more than the Sunni Muslim countries is the Jewish state of Israel. But Westerners cannot ignore the complexity of the Middle East. Iran is an enemy to Jordan and Saudi Arabia. The only country in the Middle East that can help protect Jordan and Saudi Arabia from an aggressive Iran is the Jewish state of Israel. The enemy of my enemy is your friend in this instance. So Jordan and Saudi Arabia did not assist Israel out of the goodness of their hearts or with the interest of peace with Israel. No, they helped defend Israel because if Israel falls and is destroyed by Iran, then Jordan and Saudi Arabia are next to fall to Iran's terror aggression in the Middle East. So while we must be thankful to Jordan and Saudi Arabia for joining in on the defense of Israel against the Iranian aerial attack and helping shoot down their drones and missiles, we can't misinterpret it. While Israel should still aim for normalization agreements with any and every Arab Muslim country, we must never forget that the Jewish people being sovereign in our ancestral homelands is a theological challenge for Islam. And the goal of Islam is to end our sovereignty in our homelands. They have a Muslim religious war against us. So normalization agreements are fine, but as Dr. Mordechai Kedar, expert on Islam in the Middle East, always says, and on my programs to you, always tells you, the only way we will have peace with the Arab Muslim world is if they fear us because we, the Jewish state of Israel, are invincible. The second the Arab Muslim world perceives us as weak, then they will attack to defeat us and destroy us. even those countries that have normalized relations with us. It's just temporary unless we are invincible. And that is the reality. So now we get to the question of what do we do with responding to Iran's attack? How should Israel respond? Well, any normal country would have responded immediately. Iran tried to destroy Israel. Any country in a similar situation, America, would have attacked back to destroy their enemy. But for Israel, it is not that simple. First of all, because the world, being led by the Biden administration in the United States, does not want us to attack back. And the Biden administration has its ways of pressuring us with United Nations sanctions, with holding weapons. Netanyahu has to do magical Houdini work to get support from the Biden administration in order to go on the offensive against Iran. Remember, we get all of our weapons from the United States and munitions, weapons we need to defeat Hamas in Gaza, weapons we must have to defeat Hezbollah in Lebanon, and to attack Iran directly, if and when we do so. So it is not simple for us to just attack in response to Iran. We need the weapons and the munitions from the United States that does not want us to attack any of Iran or of its proxies. Also, we have to maneuver diplomatically so that we can attack Iran as well as destroy Hezbollah in Lebanon so that our close to 100,000 citizens up north can finally return to their homes and also finally finish the job in Gaza and attack Rafah and destroy Hamas so that all of the southern residents can return to their homes and we can free the remaining captives. Please God, those are there, as many as possible who are alive. We have so much to do, and Netanyahu has a lot of diplomatic miracles to do to try to ensure we have the weapons and the munitions and whatever global credit support necessary to do what we need to do, even though he has said on many occasions that we will do what we have to do even without U.S. support. But you could see he's trying to use all these different pieces as pressure to get U.S. and global support. Another challenge regarding attacking Iran is that Israel wants to hurt and assist in toppling the Islamic Republic of Iran without hurting the Iranian people. Because, as I told you earlier, the Iranian people are an ally who also want the Islamic regime to be toppled. They are the most persecuted by the Islamic regime of Iran. I heard a fascinating suggestion by someone today that Israel should attack all the Iranian oil fields because their oil fields is 80% of the Iranian economy. So that type of attack can cripple the Islamic regime without hurting the Iranian people. Whether Israel will do that or not, I have no clue. But it is a creative way of Israel responding forcefully to hurt the Iranian regime, hurt their income, stop them from being able to continue to finance the terror against us without hurting the Iranian people in terms of their actual lives. But the bottom line is that Israel must respond against Iran directly. Why? Because with each day that passes without an Israeli response, Iran, the whole Middle East, and the world gets the impression that we, the Jewish state of Israel, are weak. And they are then able to attack us again and again and again until they can destroy us. So Israel must respond strongly and as soon as possible in order to have a clear victory over the Islamic Republic of Iran. I just read a highly respected Middle East analysis by Dr. Guy Bachor, who said that Netanyahu got the Biden administration to agree for Israel to attack Rafah in Gaza and to attack Hezbollah in Lebanon, but on condition that Israel not attack Iran directly. Instead, the U.S. will place sanctions on Iran and give Israel the money that it's supposed to give us. Now, if you ask me, this once again shows how the U.S. foreign policy establishment, especially under the Obama-Biden leadership, does everything it can to protect the Islamic regime of Iran and stop us from stopping their terror aggression. If this is true, this deal, I'm sure Netanyahu will agree, even though it does not help us in properly responding to the destructive Iranian attack on Israel. Make no mistake about it. Had Iran succeeded in killing Israelis and destroying infrastructure with their aerial attack, we would have attacked already. It's only because of our amazing defense system that we have not yet gone on the offense. But trust me, the day we go on the offense against Iran directly in Iranian territory will come too. Some people say that Israel's defensive miracle against the Iranian aerial attack was a victory. No, it was not a victory. It was a successful defense. Wars are not won with a successful defense. Wars are only won with a successful offense. Offense is victory. Defense is not a victory. Thankfully, Israel has the defensive capabilities to limit the damage of our enemies. But that is not how we stop their aggression against us. We only stop their aggression with a successful military offense that cripples our enemy's abilities and their motivation to ever attack us again. It is time the world sees Israel go on a Syrian offense to end the terror octopus of the Islamic regime of Iran and stop Iran from persecuting its own citizens as well. The Western world has failed the Iranian people and Israel for decades, maybe due to this insane reality of Iran trying to destroy Israel in a full-on assault directly from all sides. The time is fast approaching that Israel will finally put an end to the aggression of this evil Islamic regime that is terrorizing the world, trying to destroy Israel, and persecuting its own Iranian citizens. The insane thing is that we are being stopped by the Western world in doing what's necessary to help all of us. Hence, I tell you, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine and the front line for the Western world. Regardless, I hope you enjoyed this comprehensive analysis of Iran's recent attack on Israel. Hold on to your faith, everyone. Like I always say, good times are coming. These are redemptive times, and we are blessed to be living in them, even though they are bumpy with lots of pain and tragedy on the way. Strengthen your faith and never forget that it is the one above running the show, and that Israel and the Jewish people are the good guys in this story. So don't believe the headlines telling you otherwise. We have much to overcome here in Israel, externally and internally. But we are overcoming them. We are winning, and we will win. Am Yisrael Chai, folks. We are the eternal people. We are about to celebrate the holiday of Passover. We were redeemed, saved. God saved us from the biggest empire of the time, the Egyptian Empire. He freed us. We went to our Holy Land. That was redemption then. Today we're living redemptive times now. Pray for God to bring the full redemption as quickly as possible and to help the Jewish people and the Jewish state of Israel end the evil of the Islamic regime of Iran that terrorizes the whole world, not just Israel and not just the Iranian people. May we be zochem, may we merit seeing the redemption in our days, the full redemption. In the meantime, it's up to us to wake ourselves up and our friends and family up to what is really going on around us. So remember, the eternal people, we will overcome. God above is watching us. So Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Everyone have a happy, happy Passover holiday. If you're Jewish, if you're not Jewish, enjoy the holidays. You'll be celebrating. Come to Israel. Support the Jewish people. These are unbelievable times. If you are not yet a subscriber to my Pulse of Israel videos, go to pulseofisrael.com and click to subscribe to support our work so we can reach more people with the inspiring, politically incorrect truth about Israel, the Jewish people, and the freedom-loving world. Just click on the donate button on pulseofisrael.com every once in a while. Shalom, everyone, and thanks for watching.
Pulse of Israel, frontline videos from the Holy Land. Support our work by donating today.